You're listening to Next Stop CPA, the official podcast for the CPA exam, brought to you by the AICPA.
Welcome to another episode of Next Stop CPA. As we all know, the CPA exam is one of the most respected professional licensure examinations in the world. But what's not so well known is that the rigor associated with exam development procedures is as intense as the study and preparation process that many candidates go through in their efforts to pass the exam. Today, we're pulling back the curtain to give you an overview of the start to finish process that goes into developing an exam question, or item as we call them. I'm joined today by Jessica Lucas, Manager of Exam Operations and Test Development, and Jeff West, Lead Manager of Test Development. Jessica, Jeff, thank you for joining me today.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
And so let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. So how do you determine what kinds of questions or what types of questions or items are needed on the exam?
Well, we have an exam blueprint, which outlines all of the different topics that can appear on the exam. So that's where we start. Then we do an evaluation of our item bank. We look to see where do we have items? Are there holes in certain areas where we might not have enough items? Are there any obsolescence issues where maybe standards are changing and we need to start writing some items to those new standards? If something's changed, we can't test the old standard anymore, so we need to get rid of those items no matter how good they were performing and try to test some new things. So that's really where we start. And then, you know, if there are any types of other things that we're interested in testing that our CPAs feel is important, you know, we look that direction.
So it's a matter of identifying the gaps first.
Yes.
Yes. That's when the real fun begins, because we go out and we find external subject matter experts. These are people who work in the industry, whether with big firms, small firms, they may be professors for accounting programs. We gather these external people from all over the country and we ask them to write to the topics that Jeff just outlined that are in the blueprints, that we have the gaps. We go out and we get external subject matter experts to write our content. These are people that have been in the industry for a long time, either in big firms, small firms. They could work for, be professors in accounting programs throughout the country. And these are the people who will be writing the actual items. After they write them, they have a mentor that's internal to the AICPA. And this mentor goes through the questions and works back and forth with the writers to really refine it and get to the point where these questions are in really good shape. Then it goes through another review process where we go and get another set of external subject matter experts who, there's three in a group who review each item, and until each person says yes to this item, it does not move forward.
So it sounds like an assembly line process where there's different hands that touch the item throughout the process, and each person has their own role dedicated to, kind of quality checking, I guess.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And every person who looks or examines these questions is qualified in some unique way, whether they're a subject matter expert, whether they're a test developer who's expert in language or editing or fairness. Everybody who looks at this is looking at it for different things to make sure that each question is truly crafted.
Exactly as it should be. And you mentioned that the subject matter experts, they're recruited from outside. They're not AICPA exams team members, which is very important to consider. These are the people sort of in the industry. They know the trends that are going on, so their contributions are very important to the exam. And we actually have another episode dedicated to that, where we interview some of our exam writers, as well as our AICPA exam team member, Carrie Chester, who assists with the recruitment and why their roles are so important. So moving forward, once it goes through all these people's hands, we know it goes through pre-testing. So can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Sure, I can jump in there. So basically, once the item has been approved by our external CPAs and all of our internal staff, and everybody has given it the thumbs up and feels it's ready to appear on the exam, we put it on the exam, but it doesn't count towards a candidate's final score yet, because we feel like we know a lot about the item, but we don't know really how it's going to perform until we actually put it in front of candidates. So we have a certain number of items on each exam that are pretest items. They look and act just like any other item. A candidate can't tell a pretest item from an operational item, which is one that's scored and counts towards their final score.
But they know they're there, right?
They know that they're pretest. Mm-hmm. But all the candidates are looking at them and they're taking it just like any other item. And so when the window's done, we look at the statistics for the item. We figure out, you know, how many people are getting it right. Is it an easy item? Is it a difficult item? From there, we also look at which people are answering it correctly. If it's a multiple choice item, are the people that are doing well on the overall exam, are they the ones getting it correct? If so, that's good. That's what we want. If we find that some of the poorer performing candidates are the ones that are answering it correctly, well, then there might be something that's an issue with the item and we want to look at it again.
So it kind of helps you weed out the more prepared candidates from those who maybe should have prepared a little better.
Right. Yeah, at this point, it's sort of another layer of item review for us. And something we used to do, we used to ask our item writers to predict whether the items were going to be easy items or more difficult ones. And what we found was that, you know, and these are the people on the ground floor of the accounting business, or they're working with the newly licensed candidates or the ones that are going to be taking the exam, you know, recent graduates. That they're not always able to tell whether something's going to be easy or difficult. So we need to look at statistics to figure that out. And so only after we've looked at all the statistics and gotten a real sense of what's working statistically, so we can put together a fair and valid examination, that's when we'll finally give the approval to those items.
So it really goes through, each item really goes through quite a rigorous process. I like to sort of visualize it like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with the golden eggs. Either they're accepted or rejected, and like, yes, they really feel rejected. Now, ones that get rejected, does it sometimes happen early on in the process where you can just tell they're going to be duds, versus maybe others, they make it through pretty far, but then for whatever reason, they eventually are rejected?
Yeah, during our review process, we do vet out the questions. And so some questions are rejected early on in the process, but the main process for rejection comes in the pretest. Because in addition to going through pretest and having psychometricians examine the statistics as well as test developers, we also bring it in front of our subcommittee. The subcommittee is a group of 10 professionals who in each section, and they review all the pre-tested items one final time, the ones that are statistically sound, to see if they vote that they will actually appear on the exam. So it goes through an additional process even after the pretest. So yeah, I think what, Jeff, we kind of calculated how many people look at these items, and it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, we counted more than 20 different individuals will look at an individual item if it makes it all the way to operational.
So basically, the ones that eventually get accepted and go all the way, they're like the rock stars of the question community.
And you brought up an interesting point too, asking about where things fall out. And one of the things that we want to be able to do, and we've been doing a lot of work internally on, is adjusting our processes so that we're able to identify bad items earlier in the process. Because there's no sense in having somebody write a bad item and get reviewed by 20 different people. That's, you know, a lot of time on their end, and only to go through pretesting and then not work and die at that point.
So you can sort of anticipate.
Yeah. So
like it's probably not going to pass pretest.
Yeah. So we're doing a lot of analysis of our items. We've performed some data analytics studies to just sort of figure out what is it about these items that make them good or make them bad. And if we can identify the bad ones early in the process, then that saves a lot of time and effort. And if we can find the things that really work, then we can replicate that and hopefully build better items and create a better exam moving forward.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And that's part of the mentoring process too. When a writer first starts to write a question, the mentor takes all of the research that we have done and makes sure that the question never even gets to sometimes even the first review in a state that would not pass pretest.
And there's training involved there too, because the mentor then takes that information, relays it back to the item writer. And if this is a new item writer, because we adjust our network constantly, we have people that we've worked with for a while that are fantastic that eventually drop off because they have other things to do. And then we bring in new people. Just to keep things fresh. But we want to be able to help train our item writers and let them know, you know what, this seems like a great idea, but it's not going to work, and this is why, and this is how we know it's not going to work. Because we all get to the end of the process and we see items that everybody along the way will look at and say, you know what, there's nothing wrong with this. This is a great item, and it just does not perform well. But there are things that we can see along the way that we want to identify and help weed those out.
That makes sense. And so I imagine there's like this source of pride for those involved in the ones that make it all the way through. Now, you, Jess, you mentioned earlier psychometricians, that they are involved with the statistical analysis. Can you guys tell us a little bit about what a psychometrician is? And please ignore the fact that psycho makes up the first part of his name.
Yeah, psychometricians, they study assessments and they study how items perform. So they look at the statistics behind each and every item, each and every TBS. They're heavily involved with the scoring as well, to make sure that the questions that appear in the exam add up to a fair and valid exam for everybody who takes it. Anything you want to add about psychometrician?
Yeah, I think the running joke here in the office is that a psychometrician is just like an accountant but without the winning personality.
We have a team here of psychometricians. Yeah.
but we have some great psychometricians with great personalities, and they really get into the numbers, and they know how to build the exam, how many items we need in each area, how to make all the different pieces fit together. It's kind of like building a puzzle. You know, we have all these different little pieces, and they've got to fit them together to get to the final product.
Right, and every single one has its individual role, but yet there's a lot of collaboration going on. And we actually spoke with some folks on the exams team who help oversee the language development and how important it is to consider the language on the exam, and you know that we're not out to trick you. And so every single role plays a very important part. Before we start to wrap up, is there anything you guys would like to add?
I just like to add that this process does take a while, usually about 6 months from start to finish. That's the development time of these items, just because everybody has to review it and there's so many people that have to give their approval before we can actually use an item. And I think that's just significant to know how long it actually takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a process that we really take seriously, that we make sure that we're looking at the items from all different angles. Like you said, with the language, trying to make sure it's as clear as possible. If we're using any type of jargon, we want to make sure it's accounting jargon and nothing else. That the item is just, the candidate knows what their task is, and if they're prepared, they know what the answer is.
Right. And actually, Jeff, you mentioned earlier that when the process begins, you check existing items to see if they're obsolete.
Yes.
So what happens? Obviously, the questions pulled from the exam, is there like a graveyard of retired questions? Is there any further use for obsolete questions once they come off the live exam?
Typically, no. Once an item is killed, it just sort of disappears into the ether. What happens occasionally, and I think it happened a few years ago, there were some temporary standards that were put in. And our content experts might be able to explain this better. I'm not a CPA, but there were some temporary standards put in. So we knew that the items needed to go away. We also knew that there was a chance that they could come back because the standard was going to revert back to the original after a certain amount of time. So we can sort of put things into a parking lot and let them sit there for a while. We put them on ice.
And then like revive them when you need them again.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And some items, once they've been seen a lot, once they've been on the exam for a long enough time, they start to just get stale. And so in that case, we may retire them or, add them in other places.
Or if we have an item that comes back from pretest and we see that it's working really well, except for one small thing, maybe one of the distractors or the incorrect options, was attracting too many people. Maybe there was something about it that had a grain of truth to it. In a case like that, we can retire the item and then we can create it from start again using the same item as a base, but fix the issue and maybe make whatever was a little bit right a little more wrong, so that it wouldn't be as attractive to candidates.
It makes sense.
So that, you know, so we try to learn as much as we can throughout the process about the items and how to make them better.
Because it's sort of a continually evolving process too, and just understanding candidates and, you know, what they respond to, what they don't respond to. So clearly there's a lot of thought that goes into this. So, you know, for our listeners out there, when they go to sit on test day, you know, just know how many people have seen that question before you, you know, and all the thought that went into it. So I want to thank Jeff, Jessica, for being here today. Really appreciate your time.
Okay. This was great.
Until our next episode.
Thanks for listening to Next Stop CPA. Got an idea for an upcoming episode topic, or just want to let us know what you think of the podcast? Share your thoughts with us at nextstopcpa@aicpa-cima.com. And don't forget to visit aicpa.org/CPA exam for the latest exam info.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.